Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and buckle your seatbelts. It's time for your weekly ride-along with the Mics on Mics. This is Drive-By.
Welcome. I am Mike J. He is AJ. I am one half of the Mics on Mics. He is one half of a really weird, possibly homoerotic relationship with a wooded creature named Bigfoot.
Or as on the commercials he's referred to, oh, my name's Dave.
Well, your name's AJ, your lover's name is Dave, and it's nice that, you know, I was able to hunt you down and get you on this show today. My normal partner in crime is dealing with some family stuff, so he is not going to be with us today. I'm hoping that the two of us can fill that little void for our millions and millions of tens of 20s of 30 listeners.
Millions and millions of tens of 20s. You know what? 1, 10, 20, 30, honestly, to be get out during this pandemic and jump in. I don't care if it's just one and Mike jumps back and he listens. My wife's over there listening, so we at least got two.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think maybe we'll just jump into it. There's some stuff we could talk about news-wise. Maybe we'll just get into it as we kind of go into our normal Wednesday night thing that Mike and I do, because I know you took the time to make sure you got all of AEW in. I got all of NXT. And again, guys, shocking, I did watch AEW this week as well. Way better than last week. Still, you know, I still think NXT is the premier Wednesday night show, in my personal opinion, the premier wrestling show.
Oh, agree. No, it is NXT is the pinnacle right now, but I will give AEW credit because I did cram four episodes in back-to-back, and I don't know if that was four or five backs, but point is, like, it did get progressively, like, they're doing different from what NXT is doing, and to me, that is enough, like, whereas NXT's their production, the directive, all that stuff is better. But the thing I do like about AEW is it is wrestling minds that are currently wrestling. It's a different take, and being that I like how they throw the crowds in there that are wrestlers that aren't going that week. It's something. It's cheesy as hell, but you know I like it. I dig it. And the stories wasn't ratings worthy of helping stuff, but they were stuff that helped get in depth of, you know, characters to get you emotionally attached to stuff like Scorpio Sky's interview and stuff like that. So without going too far into it, I'm ready to rock.
Yeah, I like a lot of things that AEW does. It's just not my favorite, I think is a fair thing to say. And that's perfectly fine. And as I've said numerous times, I will pick and choose what I like, what I don't like. I think that's the best way to ingest wrestling at this point in time. Watch what you like, skip what you don't, and just be entertained, because that is the actual point of all of this. So let's get into it. We'll start with NXT. NXT, this week, the taping schedule changed, Mike, and I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I know they did all live shows this week. I think SmackDown may be taped. I think it started last week.
You know, you can call me Elbow Tapper right now. Instead of High Fiver, it's Elbow Tapper.
Elbow Tapper? Okay, I like it.
Just call me E.T.
That's responsive. That is responsible of you. But yeah, the taping schedule changed. WWE was originally thought to be doing live shows every week. They did live. So they did all of them live this past week, but I believe
it's going back to recording. Yeah.
Or SmackDown Friday, maybe taped. And they're going to tape, like, in blocks. So basically every star is going to have like 2 weeks off and then back to taping or something to that effect. Which is interesting because WWE, this is a little bit of news we can get into. WWE got all kinds of heat from fans for this, where they're horrible, Vince doesn't care, Vince is an asshole, he's risking these people's lives.
Blah, as long blah, as blah, they blah. Can talk shit on Vince, they're happy. But yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Well, breaking news, as of 4/24, Friday, 4/24 of April, it's being reported that AEW is going to resume live shows in 2 weeks. So here we are, and AEW is going in to do live shoots again, where they got all kind of praise for recording during a pandemic, which AEW got, or which WWE got panned for, but they did it all in a block, so they're the good guys, and Vince is evil, and I just don't understand the double standard.
I love it, because they act like he is the only one that's doing it, and they're like, I can't believe he would do that, and I'm like, you guys know that they're competing with AEW on Wednesday nights, and they are, it's the same shit, like, they're doing the same thing, the only difference is Vince McMahon and Tony Khan and the Bucks and Cody and those, that's the only difference, is like, it's not Vince McMahon's name on there, so like, we can't criticize these guys, they're wrestlers that come up, and a wrestling fan, and they want to come and make this, and compete with Vince McMahon, so let's talk shit on Vince, but these guys, what, they're just trying to make ends meet, man. Chill out. They're not billionaires. Man, get out of here with that double standard bullshit. Jesus criminy, man. It's so funny.
It's silly. It'll be interesting once taping does resume, live taping, I should say, or live shows for AEW resume. Because I heard that they had stuff taped up till, like, after Double or Nothing, including up to Double or Nothing, was already taped, so I don't know why they would rush back unless they're not maybe happy with the quality. I don't know, man. Mike and I last week discussed how there were botches that were in the show, and the show is pre-taped, and that should never be on there. They can edit it. So I don't know. I don't know the reasoning. All I know is I'm going to be real curious to see if they get blowback for this, especially if now, you know, we're hearing this taping schedule with WWE. If it stays the way it is with a few live shows and then taped and then they kind of rotate, if then maybe WWE, will they still get the same blowback? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's something that we're going to have to kind of keep our ear to the ground.
Yeah, and that's it's just funny to me because it's like, well, we have two separate wrestling shows going on, and it is of known fact that both of them are competing for ratings. It is a known fact that it's not like they're doing two people in the ring at a time and we all have to wrestle. They have to tape. They have to have production, producers, all this stuff doing things. But damn Vince McMahon for doing it. I mean, these guys, I just have a hard time digesting like some of those pages that we're on, which I'm so thankful that Mike added us to that, I don't know, whoever did.
It's entertaining.
Bro, it is some of the most ignorant shit. But it's entertaining. It is. It's another form of entertainment that I just, anytime I see you or Mike comment on there, I'm like, oh, I can't wait.
and you know, to kind of dive into a little bit from last week as well, Mike, when Mike and I spoke about the layoffs and the cuts that WWE made, you know, I said maybe Vince just is looking forward and seeing that this is more than, you know, more than something that's going to be done by June. Well, on the quarterly call that WWE does with investors, Vince stated this week that live events may not come back in the way we know them. He's basically saying, like, I don't think we're going to have 50,000 people jammed into one spot, like, not for a while, if ever.
Honestly.
And I think that has to be something we all look at, because if Vince McMahon is saying this, there is a reason. He knows something. He's talked to people. I mean, you can say, well, he's making an excuse for bad numbers, and bullshit.
No, this guy
knows his business.
I'm telling you,
if he's laying people off and saying things aren't going to be normal for a while, I don't know why we rush back to live shows. If you're AEW, I don't know why we, like,
it's going to be 12, in my opinion, it's 12 to 18 months from the time that started that I think that at the minimum, like, I honestly think it will go back, and maybe it's something that they're not going to try to, at least for maybe a few years, they're not going to be worrying about record-setting attendance numbers for big WrestleMania events, SummerSlam, and these things. We're going to probably going back to seeing this, the instead of stadiums, we're going to be arenas again with just 12 to 20,000 tops on there. But even that, I feel like they might kind of like decompress the audience sizes, and instead of filling up the whole arena, is, you know, it, to keep from jam packing them, keep it in camera view, and doing 10,000, and because it just it makes sense.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Well, you got to think about it, and going this, not to bring politics into it, but I'm bringing politics into it, is with him being working, Trump having him come in as, you know, an advisor to help reset the economy. There's got to be something in there that he is aware of, and maybe he had a hunch before. And we know, like with the XFL folding, he had to clear his money on there, but he lost $300 million the first time through. This time, less than $20 million. You know, with bankruptcy going through, he covered his ass. Vince is always going to have the best lawyers.
Which is really unfortunate, because I enjoyed the XFL this time around.
I honestly, out of all the sports groups I was in and friends, I didn't have any. I have friends that hate wrestling and were like, dude, I loved it, because it was not only a nice alternative, but if you think about XFL the first time through, the Super Bowl cameras, all right, for one, it started out where the on the field camera that would follow that started with the XFL. You know, they had certain rules that coincided with the revolutionary camera views and rule change stuff, like that brought in from the innovation of the XFL. And this time I was looking forward to having another shot at that, but you know, it sucks they didn't finish the first season, even though it was way more successful and watchable. You know, it did get cut short because of the pandemic. But being that as it may, I mean, Vince McMahon, he's an innovator. It doesn't matter. He's an innovator and an entertainer. And so he always has, we know Vince isn't this huge football buff that it has these great ideas that the NFL won't listen to. It's like, no, he has people around him that watch football. He's a, I'm sure, not an avid football fan, but he's a Patriots fan. He's going to have the right people around him to speak in his ear, like, look, they're not going to do this in the NFL, but I'll bet you after, if they check this out, anything he's going to do, he's copywriting, which, again, didn't get to go to the fullest extent on that. being that as it may, he is somebody that is, he's going to be prepared, he's going to innovate, and in being that attached to what we have, it sucks it got cut short, but Vince covered his ass on those. The cuts were going to happen. They have guys, I just read on there, the NXT guys that got cut, they were just guys that either had previously, and they didn't say which ones, had stated that they wanted to be released from their contracts, or they were guys like Cassius Ohno, who is going to continue to be, he's a furlough. I mean, he's going to come back. He's already a training wrestler, or a coach wrestler. He's just going to come back and do the same thing. Guys like that is why NXT is the way they are and have been able to excel, is because they are in the business, but they also will take, he's going to go in there, take the losses and make those guys look good. He's a great enhancement talent. He's going to go in there to make sure whoever he's going against is going to look great, you know? But anyway, you're jumping into NXT, and
yeah, let's get into NXT. So the show opens with it's supposed to open with Finn versus Dream. We find out that Finn was attacked in the locker room, and Dream is doing his entrance, mocking Finn on the ring post, on the whole Finn Balor arms up thing.
Right.
This is where Adam Cole comes out. And kind of confronts Dream. I do wish we would have found out a little bit more about what was going on with Finn, but then again, it throws that question, so maybe you tune in next week. So
facts.
I'll take it. But Adam Cole comes out, says again that he's never going to get a shot, Dream's never going to get a shot, and then is kind of trashing Dream. And then from the sides, here comes Fish and Roddy. They attack a Velveteen Dream. Keith Lee comes out for the save. Something that I missed, which while I watched live, I did not notice this, but someone caught it on Twitter, and then I, of course, saw it and went back.
Right.
Dexter Lumis was looming in the shadows watching all this go down. So
really?
2 weeks in a row where he's creepily staring at the Undisputed Era. So they come in, you know, Lee comes in, makes the save, and we got our main event set. It's going to be Velveteen Dream and Keith Lee versus Adam Cole and Roddy Strong later on in the night. So we get an opening match with Tegan Nox and Shotzi Blackheart. I had said last week that the match...
Shotzi killed it.
Yeah, Shaw, I'm a fan of hers, man. But well, I said this was to set up a tag match.
I won't jump into it. I'm sorry. When they did the Evolve thing where the guys from NXT jumped in and did the Evolve event with Austin Theory, Shotzi Black, those were the two that I would like. Man, even though Austin Theory looks like just the biggest douche in the world, he's 22 years old. The dude is going to be a star, bro. And I love that they put him with Zelina Vega, Angel Garza, and my guy.
I love that faction.
I love Andrade being in there. And I feel like it almost feels like they're putting Vega over more. Like, that it's her. Like, but I hope it transitions into just Andrade getting... Because I love that Heyman's doing all this. Because you can tell. But the guys like Alistair, the guys like Andrade... I think Ricochet and Cedric are going... They're great, dude. They gotta be... They finally put them with enhancement talent. They got guys that... Yeah, they didn't squash them, but it put guys that fit their talent or fit their style of wrestling. So they was able to put them over by going and do all these things. But anyway, seeing that Heyman's fingerprints all over this, Andrade being hopefully a heel faction leader... And he's got the U.S. title. It feels like that title's starting to be more important. And it feels like that they're putting the right people around him. That, man, this could be something so spectacular. But to cut that off, Shotzi was a star at Evolve, and she killed it in that gauntlet match. And I thought it was a good heel way to have her lose the last one. She still looks strong. You know, it did not hurt her at all. But
No. And we get the tag match I predicted last week with Dakota Kai and Gonzalez getting a win. Gonzalez did an impressive one-arm powerbomb to Shotzi for the pin. So,
she's not – I like that big, huge heel, like just star power muscle they have for Dakota Kai because she's going over the great
it's
heel.
It's working for me. I'm liking it more and more.
Definitely.
Following this, we get a brief look at the video Drake Maverick released right after his release, the emotional video, which was really hard to watch in real time and a little bit.
I got so much respect for him
on the show
in the first place.
Yeah,
but
I do
doing
too.
That, I'll tell you what, he may not have been the 24/7 star that R-Truth was. He put that mainstream. He put it, made it important, and being that Truth was the guy that shot off and was the reason that it stayed up so long, Drake's the one that put it on that platform. He made it important.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree 100%. So this rolls into another match in the Cruiserweight Interim Title Tournament, Drake Maverick versus Jake Atlas. A solid match, a little bit of a slow build. They kind of went from mat wrestling to high spots to an absolutely fantastic finish where it led to a cartwheel DDT off the top rope by Jake Atlas getting the win.
He's nice. I like Jake Atlas.
Yeah. This is a, you know, we're not one and done. So they get three matches in this tournament and are going for records here. So it's going to be really weird if they use this whole angle with Drake Maverick where he cut this promo, you know, I don't want to call it a promo, but you know, this heartfelt video about his release. If they turn it, because they're kind of turning that in the storyline, if they keep going that route and then he doesn't stay with the company, it's going to be really weird for me, and I'm not going to like that. So hopefully they're seeing there's money here and this gets him maybe even the Cruiserweight title.
How awesome would that be? Honestly, that to me, Drake he's a guy that he's an underdog, but that you never wanted to root for, that you never knew you wanted to root for. And now with that going in there, yeah. there's so many good cruiserweights in it, which I love that they're doing. And I don't know if the interim means like whoever wins when this all gets settled, Devlin's going to get that first shot at it because it's obviously it was well, his title. But
as I spoke with to Mike, I mean, this is a perfect storyline setup for, you know, Razor Shawn ladder match. Here we go. Yep. Cruiserweight ladder match for the title. Come on. Yep. So we move on. We get a promo from. We get a lot of promos in this episode of NXT, and they actually were all very good and worked very well. We got a Damian Priest promo. He's bashing Keith Lee, saying that the opponents he's beaten, he's kind of handpicked because he knew he could beat them, and once he gets him one-on-one, it's going to be a different story. And then we get another match in the Cruiserweight tournament with Kushida versus Tony Nese.
Oh, man. I was excited for this and haven't seen it, and we will. Me and the wife will go end up watching that tonight before SmackDown.
You're gonna enjoy it because
I love Kushida, and the people that complained about him not being on the forefront enough and doing this, I think this is, oh man, I'm so excited for this. But go ahead, sorry.
It's hard. Like, some of these matches are even hard to talk about because it's just like, man, you just got to see it. You know what I mean? It was a back and forth match. Awesome.
Well, that armbar he did a couple weeks ago.
Wins with that.
Oh my god, that's a gangster.
Well, Kushida wins with that flipping armbar off the top rope again. Incredible. Incredible talent. I'm really digging Kushida. And Tony Nese is pretty damn good himself. So we then move on to a really fun, awkward promo with Matt Riddle and Thatcher. So,
Riddle's opponent? The
Bruiserweights? What? His partner?
The guys that attacked him the week before, because obviously
the I can't think of their name. Forrest knows it. The two giant Indian dudes with Michael Beavin as their manager.
Yeah.
So we get this promo. I don't know. You just have to see it. It's great. And then we get a. I keep saying killer. It's Carrion or Carrion Cross promo.
Yeah.
Saying it's doomsday. TikTok sounded like Scarlett doing the speaking in this promo. Again, really good promo. So then we go into yet another promo, AJ. And wait until you see this promo. It's a Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae shot at their house. Absolutely, in my opinion, epic heel work promo. This is them.
I read that
about
it. Still, kind of kept Tommaso as a part of it in a way, like where.
It's basically talking about how they are tired of being the good guys and being the good people. I should say.
I love
getting
the
screwed
the
over.
I love the LeRae heel turn, by the way, but go ahead.
Yes, so they're basically saying that they're not getting anywhere by being Mr. Nice Guy, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that everyone else is bad, they're the good ones, and they're just going to do what they got to do to get what they need. And they set the goal that they want to rebuild NXT in their image, and they want to be the first married couple as the men's and women's NXT champions. So
I like where it's going.
I love it. It's absolutely got me intrigued, and I love it.
And it's the first time that I've been invested in anything that Gargano done, because I was just so bored with with the constant limbo. Even though he's a great wrestler, it's a limbo that only he could be in because of the love-hate Tommaso and the love of the fans in him. So on to the next though.
It's perfect. We then get an EO promo. She's waited a long time to face Charlotte is what she says, and she wants to prove how good she is, and she bows to no one.
Can I ask you one thing before you continue the other one, because I'm just trying to touch upon something gradually while you do it without completely bringing it to a halt. But I hope, because they said it's a future shot, I really hope that this is a woman's Money in the Bank. Somehow they transition to that's
for
the briefcase. Yeah,
well,
that would be so great.
Yeah, they haven't really explained it. So
no, and I think that's, to
I
me,
I don't know.
That's why I'm intrigued by this, because when they first did it, I said, honey, that's a briefcase in the ladder. please let this be NXT's jump. Even if it's just for now, it's just the women's in there. It's not a men's thing. Maybe down the line they do it kind of nonchalantly how they originally did Money in the Bank in WWE, where there was like, oh, let's do it at Mania. And then, you know, and here's, and eventually it comes a thing. But it would just be so dope if she's like, all right, I'm cashing my briefcase in. I want that title shot right now. Yeah. You know, that'd be dope. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Okay, so we then get a promo backstage or an interview backstage with Drake Maverick. Again, this is why I'm saying, like, man, I hope this leads to something for him, because if not, it's going to be really hard to go back and watch this shit. Right. So he's getting interviewed, and he basically says that Jake Atlas is great. He's like, every athlete in this tournament is great. Says, they are fighting their opponents, I'm fighting my opponents and myself. And then he says, maybe everyone was right about me. And that's where, like, kind of, he just puts his head down, and that's about, I'm like, oh my God, like, they have to give this guy a job back, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's selling the shit out of it. From the time that promo hit Twitter, and in every, like, you know, secondary wrestling outlet that's seen this, and posted up, and have so many people being engaged, it's almost like, Drake's like, look, I'm going to put my real feelings into this, but man, I'm going to try to make it a work.
Yep, absolutely. So
smart businessman.
We then go into a Mia Yim squash match. She beats, I think it's Jessica Kamea, I think is her name. It's like a 90-10, you know, offense squash match. Right. Kind of reminiscent of the Brody Lee match from Dynamite that we'll talk about here in a minute. Charlotte shows up after this. Man, I have in my notes after Charlotte, fuck, she's good.
Right.
She comes out, she thanks Mia Yim for making her a star 5 years ago, because they've said on commentary how Mia Yim gave Charlotte her first match on NXT. Tells her, then looks at Mia and tells her, you're a good hand. And now it's my turn to finally make you a star.
Oh, like, wow.
The condescending attitude, it's flipping phenomenal by
Dude,
Charlotte. She's the
Charlotte's
one.
So
I'm so
great.
Reinvested in Charlotte now, yeah, as the NXT Women's Champion.
Well, it's
and don't get me wrong, I still wanted Rhea to have this title, but damn.
Dude,
this
and,
is awesome.
And anybody in the right mind would, Mike, but and this is where another play off of, well, because all right, it started out, man, we were all very upset with the Rumble win because we all assumed what it was going after. And even if it wasn't, yes, it's great that she's definitely putting over Rhea Ripley, because going to NXT, she's going to stay in Raw. But the fact that they have rolled with this, it was a great match. And that was one of the best matches on there. And even people that I've seen heavily criticize WWE for doing what they did with Charlotte, heavily criticizing what they did with Shayna on not winning the Rumble. But man, you think about, how is it not that Charlotte's going to not make something great out of what they already have, the talent pool in NXT women, the NXT women's wrestling that constantly keeps pouring up and spilling over into the main rosters. They honestly could almost argue that the NXT women's division has built WWE in the last few years, because the fact that they can constantly go through the top stars that leave NXT and go to Raw, go to SmackDown, and they keep bringing up different and it's investing not just storyline, but how great the wrestling is, and having Charlotte, you know, rival with Mia Yim, with Io Shirai, possibly Candice LeRae, maybe not, but just the thought of what these other angles could go to is Charlotte could be, they, because I read that Vince was like, looked at Charlotte was a face in all this, where she was the one, she was, you know, putting over, she's the star, but the fact that it doesn't matter, she could be the tweener and still work on any level. Charlotte is such a great heel and on the mic, yeah, and in and outside the ring. And it was annoying to see if she go to Raw and SmackDown and NXT. It's not. And the fact that now Mia Yim being on there, it's just like, man, I am invested 150% with whatever they do with Charlotte with that NXT women's title, because, dude, it just gives her a whole new plethora of talent that can keep up with her. They're great down there.
She's now working as she's now working in the best women's division in pro wrestling, period.
But, dude, I honestly am one of the best divisions, period. Because I'll tell you what, in my opinion, it rivals the best of what AEW has to offer on the roster, period. Bringing in up, if it's Kenny Omega or Cody or any of those guys. It's like the fact that they can do anything. And I will say, and a touch up on this, me and the wife was talking, the AEW had their best women's match ever this past week with Britt Baker and what was her name? No, it was the week before then. I'm sorry. I crammed a few weeks, but it was so freaking amazing. And that was just, I told her, I said, that's crazy how great that match seemed because of how bad the women's division is in AEW. Mm-hmm. But that's an average Wednesday for NXT women's. They kill it.
Yeah.
And TakeOver, god dang. But anyway, I know I jumped in, went off on a rant there, but I really felt it was time to touch on that because, and being that relevant to what we'll talk about with the AEW, but women's, but the women's in NXT is head and shoulders comparable or better than any other division in any other wrestling organization right now. It's just so great.
Yeah, no, totally. So then we move into the last two matches of the night. We get another cruiserweight tournament match, the debut of Phantasma. He took on Jack Gallagher. Gallagher, if you haven't seen him in a while, looks like he's got flash art tattoos all over him. It's completely a complete change for this dude. I like it. I like it in the weirdest way where I feel like I shouldn't like it, if that makes any sense.
It does.
But I was Gallagher's impressed by Phantasma.
One of those guys that just, he, for somehow, as annoying as he is, and he can put on a decent time, and I'm excited to see the art.
Yeah, it's fun. Phantasma gets a win. I was impressed by this dude, and then he gives a promo in Spanish on the, like, up on the ramp, and then later he's outside and they're talking to him again, and he gets almost kidnapped by the same masked dudes that have been taking people the last couple weeks. He does fight them off. So
you mean the Dark Order?
Yeah. But the Dark Order is trying to steal talent from NXT because they know they can't compete otherwise.
It's almost like Vince is taking a shot back at them for all the Brody Lee stuff. It's like Vince, like, well, we're going to have masked guys come and steal them. Dude, it's kind of, I mean, in my own world, it's kind of funny and relevant, but anyway.
We'll get to that here in a minute. So then it's time for the main event. We get, like I said, this was a weird main event. It was fine. It just, we started with Dream and Lee versus Cole and Strong. And so Priest comes out, sneaks out, attacks Lee twice from behind with the nightstick that he's been carrying. And Lee is taken out of the match. And then out of nowhere, you just kind of see the camera pan over and Dexter Lumis is standing in the corner for Dream.
Really?
And the announcers make reference of it, and they're like, oh, it looks like he's going to, they're going to let this go. They're going to let him be his partner, and the referee, like, approved a tag, and Lumis comes in. It was weird. And Dream actually pinned Cole in this match. So,
a little foreshadowing.
We went off the air with Tom Phillips saying, Adam Cole pins the NXT champion, Adam Cole. I'm sure he's kicking himself in the ass for that call. Obviously, it should have been the Dream pins NXT champion, Adam Cole.
Oh,
hey,
God.
Words are hard. I totally understand.
Yeah.
Overall, a really good showing for NXT. I think do you have anything you want to throw on the NXT pile right now, or
I like honestly with being that there, it seems like they're like after what would have been TakeOver, the little tapings that they seeded all the way through a few of the NXT shows for about a month and a half. It seems like that they're bridging a lot of new talent coming in there, you know, or new. I won't say new talent, a lot of different talent that's going on TV that hasn't been, or at least in a while in Dream's case, or the newer talent that's coming up like Shotzi, the tag team. It's like they're bridging over and trying to, it's almost like a season premiere. Bringing these new faces in here, and I'm excited to see what exactly they do. Because I mean, one thing that I love about NXT takeover crowds is one thing that got me into AEW that was like I'm gonna give this a shot was the crowd reaction. They were just always there and always behind. It didn't matter what they were cheering for. Or the Orange Cassidy stuff, or the John Moxley stuff. They're always invested, you know. But the thing what they understand is the takeover crowds, not just the Full Sail with the 500 people, but the takeover crowds were just always just so passionate, and it's because they gave them something in the ring to be passionate about. So I'm really eager to see what these newer faces are going to be doing. And what exactly we're doing in the sense of we don't have any crowds, and it's not going to change how good the wrestling is. But you and I both know, man, it is nothing better to hear the Adam Cole Bebe chants, or having them chant the NXT, or having Keith Lee them singing, Keith Lee, woo woo, Keith Lee, or whatever they're doing. You know what I mean? The crowd interacting when in NXT is bar none better than any other organization, albeit this inside the same umbrella with SmackDown and Raw, or even an AEW that rivals them closely, at least in the terms of crowd reactions. I really want to see what these newer faces and the newer rivalries bring, because Tommaso is going to be in something different. Obviously, Dream and Cole being in there, Gargano, whoever he's doing, Finn, because he can't go with Walter, is going to be with somebody doing something different. Shotzi being in there, Io Shirai being in the title picture somehow, but with Mia Yim, with Charlotte, I'm really eager to see how this goes, but I just have to say, I miss the crowd so much.
Yeah, even the bad ones. Guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to let AJ take a little bit of the reins, and we're going to talk a little bit of AEW. We will be right back.
Each and every week, while Mike's on Mike's, scour the globe, looking in arenas, locker rooms, VFW halls, looking under rocks and under Peyton Royce, to answer the burning question, what is Sean Spears doing?
AJ, I'm sure that you are aware that these past few weeks, Mike and myself have been investigating what in the world Sean Spears is doing. And the segment that started with us trying to kind of poke a little bit of fun has kind of turned up on its head, and I think that he might be our new favorite wrestler. So, with all that in mind, AJ, I'm just going to ask you one question. With the understanding that Sean Spears left a hectic full-time schedule to work like maybe one day every month to not get the crap beat out of him, to hang out with his smoking hot wife who's still making that WWE money, is he or is he not your new favorite professional wrestler?
Bar none.
Bar freaking none. Hey, hey, go Sean Spears. Alright, AJ, AEW, I did watch it. I know you watched it. You want to go ahead and kind of just run down some of the things we saw? You don't have to get as detailed. I don't know if you took notes. I'm sure you didn't.
Yeah, no, I did, actually.
You did? Oh, look at that. Well, then jump into it, man. I usually don't. It's something I started to try to do with a little bit less time at work that I have. I had a little bit more time to get a little deeper into NXT every week. It's probably not going to last forever.
I only did because I knew you with NXT, you were on top of that, and I didn't want to come in unprepared. And being that I did cram 4 weeks of AEW into a few hours that it's a little mix. I will say I didn't organize it well because there's some that I, like I said before, with the AEW women's match that was just fucking phenomenal, wasn't actually last week, or Wednesday was the week before, and a few things like that. But
I believe
as far as
there wasn't even a women's match this week on the show.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, the week before it was. I mean, honestly, I didn't know Britt Baker could go like that. It was so good. And the fact that, like you said, what we were kind of dragging on in there with, what I just kind of chimed in with there and drug it around in the mud a little bit. The NXT Women's Division is just so great. And it's funny, it's a far cry because me and the wife's been watching a little bit of older WrestleManias and things like that. We're having Trish and Michelle McCool and Jazz and Lita and talent in there that's not really, wouldn't be looked at as talent nowadays. Trish would, I love Trish to death, but TNA was Trish's best quality. She was a good wrestler in a bad wrestling world. I think that she would do well now with the talent going now if it was in her prime. But we've seen with her, she struggled when she was in there with Charlotte. Bless Charlotte's heart for carrying that match. But
she had to learn in an environment where there wasn't much you could work with.
No,
I think that's the fairest way to describe it.
And we have to make that clear because it wasn't an environment of that where women were really doing what they're doing. It wasn't an environment where women were training to wrestle, not training to entertain. And being that now, looking back on it, we all wanted to get it a chance with the women's wrestling and WWE when the women's revolution started. But like I never thought ever it would come this far this fast, or even this far in general. Because I can probably rattle off 10 women right now that can hang and go do a 30-minute match and just be, you can't stop watching. And we're not watching because of TNA. We're not watching because they're doing a mud wrestling match. We're watching because it is just phenomenal. And piggyback off that, AEW has not been able to get that niche yet, but I really think, and the one thing I do like about AEW, segue relation, is I like the ranking system they do, and the fact that they're bringing it up and instead of I do like when you watch AEW and they'll have guys come down to the ring and they'll be like, he wants to kick this guy's ass. Sometimes it's just funny stuff they put in there, but the ranking system is something that is different. It's not revolutionary. It's not something that's like, oh, this makes this so much better, but it does make you feel a little more invested.
It has positive and negatives because they don't stick to it enough.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. The writing,
they have to use it. Like, you know, someone's going to win a match based on this ranking system. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's a hindrance.
But to be fair, there's a lot of times you look at other matches in WWE and be like, I knew who's going to win this. You know, so that they have. But I guess you're more or less pandering to an AEW crowd that's not really in touch with things of that nature. It's more or less they are being the elite fans, and guys that really are knowing Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and those guys. And outside of that, their marks for them, they don't really understand how all that stuff works. So being that they're putting their own system and ranking in there, it does have, you know, it's good and does have its bad, but in general, I like, and I hope that they can build off of that. So, with that being said, I like the TNT title tournament they're doing. Now, looking at it, we already know, smart wrestling fans know, looking at it, who it's going to come down to. And that's okay, because the matches have been good.
It's going to be Cody Rhodes and Lance Archer, right?
Of course. Of course. But the fact that they throw in Dusty on the other side and give you an emotional investment, because Lance, he's going to destroy Dusty. It might be a good match at first. It might be a good match altogether, and it could destroy him after the match. But the fact Cody is going to be coming in there because he just killed his brother. He is going to destroy him. Mm-hmm. But and this is why I like the long-term booking here, because you brought in Jake the Snake when we saw a crowd in there talking about... We either thought it was Archer or Brody. You know, that's the only two it could have been when Jake the Snake originally came out, that he's talking about this person and this regret that Cody's going to have. And then it just kind of... It hovered, but it didn't really... You know, and then next week, Murderhawk comes in, and you're like, okay, all right. And then Cody's like, I'm not wrestling him. I'm not going to touch him. You know what I mean? He just walked away. You're not going to just come at me. You can't just walk in here and get a match with me. And so they built to this. Right. And the guys on the other side, we know Darby and Sammy Guevara is not going to win this. But, man, was that a fucking amazing match. I've never thought I'd like Darby Allin like this, but, man... He and people don't like Sammy Guevara. I don't know why. He is fucking an amazing wrestler.
Listen, Guevara's good.
I watch his YouTube channel. I'm invested a little bit.
Almost better than I like Darby. And I'm coming around to Darby. But here's the thing. Here's my only problem with Guevara. He just loses all the time.
But here's the thing, though. What's going to happen with Guevara, they kind of, and I'm glad we kind of got this. It's kind of a nice little segue to where we're getting at. They did the Brady Bunch parody with the Bubbly Bunch, okay? And what they did in that, they kind of did a little rip off TikTok. They're like, Sammy's not in a great mood. They're building Sammy as an emotional underdog. What I mean is he's going to end up, I think, because at the end of the video, all right, you have Jericho throwing a fit because he danced so well. I think you're planting seeds of Guevara turning face, because Guevara's a likable guy. I honestly accidentally stumbled upon his YouTube channel, and I like the guy. Like, the stuff he was doing, he's going around traveling, doing these conventions. He did a couple of small wrestling shows from where he's from. They're planting seeds of him leaving the Inner Circle, in my belief. And in doing that, him losing those matches, it kind of gives you a way of like, dude, this guy loses all the time. Why? And I think they're and maybe I have to give credit maybe Chris Jericho, because I don't know how much long-term booking you can keep doing and do successfully, because right now with the Adam Page they did was nice. They're using that, and it's kind of constantly planting seeds in there. The Cody Rhodes and Lance Archer, even though it's not like super long-term booking, but it's a couple months, you know, a month and a half, 2 months worth, that's building to this. And then with the Guevara, if that loss is going there and doing that, and they're kind of constantly making you not necessarily feel sorry for him, but maybe once he does turn face, you're like, dude, this guy couldn't win for nothing. He's always losing. And be that as it may, he can come in there and get that baby face turn with Jericho and those guys jumping him, and eventually maybe Darby Allin jumps and helps him. Maybe somebody that he had fought with and tooth and nail always lost to comes in and helps him, and then you have an emotional underdog that this could work over with, because Sammy's the guy that's always taken the pin. If it's in there with LAX, if he's in there with Jericho, if he's in there with Hager, he's always the one taking the pin. But man, he's the one taking the risk. He looks great in there. In my mind, I think he's a likable guy too. Like, he's a great smart ass. When they have Jericho, those guys coming out with his music, and he's singing to it, what he's terrible at. I mean, you just kind of want to laugh at him. You're just like, man, you know, I don't hate him. And maybe he's not doing his job, or maybe they're doing that on purpose, because as a heel, you should hate him. But there's guys in the business that, you know, regardless if they're a heel or not, you just can't boo them, you know. But MJF's a guy, to go off on a side note, he wants to make sure that you hate him, and he'll do shit. But Sammy's a guy he's a likable heel. So maybe it don't, maybe it will. Maybe you know it real is a $3 bill. But I think that Sammy's going to turn face. And I think that this is, in this match, they did good high-flying stuff. And they did a really good job telling the story in the ring. And being that you have him lose, you have now what, Cody? Is that on Cody's side? It would be Cody and Darby, right? And then the other side, it's going to be Dusty and Archer. And do you think that in your opinion, with Archer and Dusty, how do you see that playing out to lead into the final?
With Archer and Dusty?
Mm-hmm. And then transitioning to Cody being in there against him. I mean, I know you know he's going to win, but I'm saying, but how do you think it's going to... Because I personally think...
This is what I assume. If I was producing this show, I would have Cody and Darby open, right?
Yep.
So we establish that Cody wins and is going to the final. And then I'd have Archer and Dustin close. And I'd have Archer just murder him. Like beat him. I'd probably want to use blood. You know what I mean? Have him beat him and then hurt him post-match. So Cody comes out, makes a save.
See, this is why I want that match to open. Because then Cody goes in with a whole different attitude of, I want to win that because I can't win the AEW title. I want to win that because I want, you know, I got to make it something for myself. But now he's going in there with blood he's the taste of blood. He's seen his brother get destroyed by him. You have a whole different, influence for Cody now. He doesn't want, he's a fan of Darby. Him and Darby are friends, you know, but when he sees his brother get destroyed by him and he wasn't able to be there to help him, he comes out there like a madman, and we see a whole different Cody, and we see a whole different type of match than we would if it opened up and then closed with Archer and them. Now, I'm not saying either one wouldn't work, because it would. Like, that would play out perfect on there, because then you have Cody, who was like originally wrestling to get the title, now he's wrestling to avenge his brother. I just think you can put that on the forefront and switch it around to where with him winning and then him going against Darby, he's in there like fighting for more than that, and then going into the championship match.
I understand what you're saying. Either way, it works. Let's do this, because we got to get through some of this. We did get a Matt Hardy promo addressing Jericho. Did you enjoy this or no?
See, the thing I liked about it was being that he did the multiple personalities on there. It wears out. It will wear out is if they constantly just have him doing the one. I think it was very smart to play the gimmick the correct way, where it's broken, but don't fix it, being that you have two multiple personalities here. He can be Abraham Lincoln. He can be fucking Damascus. He can be Matt Hardy, or he can be broken. And I think that you play that so it doesn't get old, because that's the problem.
I think that's the savior of this, because as I told you, I'm kind of over the broken, woken, whatever Matt Hardy gimmick. I haven't been a fan of it in AEW. I did enjoy this promo only because it switched. If it had been all broken, I think I'd have been like, nah.
Because it's something that, one, you with no fans and not having as much stuff you can do, you don't have as much stuff to run through. And the thing is, with Matt Hardy, he has his own YouTube channel, so it can be something that can wear on you, especially if you're a fan of it. I think as of right now, especially if you're a fan of Matt Hardy, you have to have the split there, or else it's just going to drown you in it, and you're going to get bored so much faster. So the fact that they saved it.
Look at what Bray is doing with Bray Wyatt, Funhouse Bray, and The Fiend. You know what I mean? Like, it works well. So, not to say, I'm not saying they're copying. I'm not saying that.
A quick question on that. They're pitching Bray Wyatt, not The Fiend, versus Braun.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Okay. And that's the thing. At first, while I was like, but that's why Bray can lose that then.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's going to be a build to a even stronger story, and I like it.
And being that we are getting, right now, we're getting recyclables for Money in the Bank, and I am looking so forward to that because we all agree this is too soon for him to jump right back in and win. Braun needs to destroy Bray. He needs to go out there and do some shit where he gets disqualified.
And then it's going to take the Fiend to another level, and that's what I'm hoping for. We got a Kenny Omega enhancement talent match. I'm just going to leave it right here. It was a terrible match. And there is no reason, hold on, there is no reason, no reason for this guy to get the offense he got on Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega in AEW is not good. I'm just going to say it.
Here's what I'm going to say, okay? They've been building on that. I told you about their slow builds that they do well. Okay, right now, being that Adam Page is one that's going over well, Kenny has to turn heel, right? He has to.
I don't know.
He has to get on there and start putting those matches together that he's capable of, because right now, they're making Kenny Omega look like The Miz. And let's be honest, The Miz is no Kenny Omega when it comes to the matches, but man, The Miz is so much better on the mic. Man, Miz is so much better drawing heat and hatred. But right now, I and the thing is, I'm a Kenny Omega fan because of Forrest kind of getting me hip to him 5-6 years ago. I do not like what they're doing. Why do you get guys that are established, that made this company, that literally started this company, and you're making the you? Why are we having to feel emotionally invested in guys that we already know they're great? What, don't build them from the bottom up. Build them from the top and tear them down. Like, I don't get why he got 5 minutes with an enhancement talent. It makes no sense why Kenny didn't destroy this guy. Anyway, we wasted too much time on that.
Yeah, it's all good. Let's kind of wrap this up as quickly as possible. Orange Cassidy versus Jimmy Havoc, two guys I really don't care about, and I think they kind of tipped their hat having Kip Sabian get involved to the outcome of the main event, which we already discussed.
It's just weird that they're bringing them in, and that was the transition for next week's match. I like the roll-up pin that they had him win with, because I think they do have a nice little...
I like the finish, but like, Cassidy just didn't do anything the entire match, just got his ass beat. I don't know, man. I'm just not a fan of either of these guys. I know a lot of people love Orange Cassidy. I know Forrest likes the work that Jimmy Havoc does in the ring. I do not.
I like Orange Cassidy with the crowd. Orange Cassidy without a crowd is like having is like having Scotch on the rocks with no rocks.
That's a good way to describe it. Then we get Wardlow in action. He defeats a jobber. This guy looks good, but he almost looks like, I feel like if Nia Jax did the moves, which she kind of does, but if Nia Jax did his moveset with the body torque that his opponents land with, that she'd be getting blasted online as much as she already is. You get where I'm going with this. Like, he's getting praised for how brutal he looks, and Nia Jax getting dumped on for being unsafe. I think there's a fine line that you can walk, and I don't know where it is because I'm not a worker. But I think there is a little bit of a double standard there, but Nia does have that reputation. I don't believe that he does. So I don't know. I like it. I like his look. I like his move sets. So far.
Yeah, and it's hard when you have, like, when you bring a guy that's a big star like that, I just feel like they kind of shit the bed with him having come out and lose Cody's very first match. I'm like, why not have him win that match, except for just don't make it against Cody, make it against somebody else. Cody comes out for the save and comes in, does the moonsault off the top of the cage, and helps, you know, at least make him look strong in a loss. When you have him lose clean in a cage match, it's like, I don't believe that he, even though his moveset isn't bad, and he's MJF's guy or whatever, you should have had this play out different. There's no long-term booking explanation here. The fact that you have this monster guy come out that's been destroying people and even helped him out with all these things, you have him come out and lose his first match. I don't care if it's the Cody Rhodes, because Cody doesn't get the title shot, so he's different. I don't understand that at all. It's like leading the blind off a cliff, man. It's like, why are you doing this? I just don't. I don't know. And that, and then jump over to the Brody Lee Dark Order package, where he has some guy in there where he's basically talking him up.
Man. Yeah, this isn't working for me either. This is a, it's a McMahon mock. I don't care what they say. They're even calling him Mr. Brody Lee now. So it is what it is. Like, don't shy away from it. If that's what you're doing, then just admit, yeah, we're making fun of Vince. Cool. Don't pretend like you're not.
Here's where you can make ratings come out of something that's boring to me. I dig Brody Lee. Luke Harper, I've always been, he's a great worker. I don't like his fucking wrestling attire at all. It's ugly as shit, but it's better than a sweaty, white, nasty t-shirt with jeans. And
It's a copy of the Bludgeon Brother
outfit. Yeah, it is. It with different colors and stitching. But I think what they could make this to where it really take, if, like you said, own the shit. Start fucking trying to bring in guys that WWE just cut. And then put that in there. Then that, if you want to go that angle, let's not be shy. Do that. And honestly, Vince will probably respect it. He'll like, you know what, that's good for him. Good for him. He took what I said on there and he used it for motivation. Don't be shy. Don't fucking beat around the bush. Try to get fucking guys in there like Rowan. Try to bring in guys that either relevant to him and his career over there, and he could use that, or other guys that, you know, that weren't, that he could still, just because they came from there. Own that shit. Bring them in. And even if he brings them in to destroy them and like, nah, I don't want you. You're trash. You can't make the cut anyway, or something where it pertains to them getting fired. Like, do this. Go all out. Don't fucking sell yourself short, because otherwise it's foreplay on Showtime without the money shot. And I don't want to see that shit. So, I mean, that's pretty much it on that. He came out and afterwards stared at Marco, really the fucking 3.5-foot tall dude. Like, come on.
They set up for that for next week too. They're not going to be hot, but that's the thing. Like, they're not hiring anyone. You know what I mean? They're not going to be hiring anyone right now. They can't. I said this last week. If WWE's cutting people, AEW isn't hiring people. Not right now. Not in this environment.
If you notice that on BTE, they've been doing fucking matches over there just to kind of make up for what's not going on there. You know what I mean? So, like, it's not like they're going to be fucking making masks. Because, like, the idiots and the masses are, well, they're all AEW bound now. They're definitely going over there. WWE fucked up. But no, WWE is, Vince is, okay, if you want to knock Vince and tell him how stupid he is and how out of touch he is, okay, he didn't cut those guys because he's dumb. He was holding on to those guys because he's like, you're not going to go elsewhere. The only reason they went elsewhere was because they can't afford that. And guess what? AEW can't either.
Here's the thing. We'll kind of wrap it up with this. What's better? You know, I've heard so much how WWE was just hoarding talent, and that's ridiculous. What's better? That they paid people who were low-end mid-carders to low-card job guys decent amounts of money to work a little bit, or these guys would have been out of work anyway. You get what I'm saying? Because AEW is only a year old. So
they're not going to star in any. If they go out and star somewhere, a la Alberto Del Rio, which he was a champion in WWE, so I won't knock Alberto too much. That's probably not even a good example. But we'll just say this. If they're going anywhere to do anything good, it's the fucking TNA that cannot fucking sign any new talent anyway. And there's the only place they're going to go that they get a bigger platform. And it's only because they have that stigma of being in WWE attached to them. If they didn't get cut from WWE, if they get cut from WWE, they're big shit in TNA. It don't matter where you are. And you see that. It's not no longer the AJ Styles and the Samoa Joes and Lashley and guys that were really good, you know, over there and built themselves outside of WWE and then went, it's not that time right now. And it's not the talent there. They just, It's not, and they're not going anywhere else. Ring of Honor's not signing anybody. You know, Gorilla's not signing anybody. New Japan, of course, definitely is not doing that right now. And the only place that after maybe going in, we will have, and I hope for his sake, that I really want to see Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows go to New Japan and get back in there. Because I know Tama Tonga and those guys, they're great friends.
That appears to be the plan.
Yeah. Old Machine Gun Carl. I'm totally for that. And all that mess, I know Rusev seemed like Rusev didn't want to come back. He made that clear when his wife signed in November. He didn't. And I love Rusev to death. He's not a top tier talent, but I wish him the best. Rusev's always been my guy. Always will be my guy. You know, the Revival, I hope that they get to do great things because I think they fit better over there. But I just don't see being as big as they were in NXT. And then with Karin and Luke Gallows, I really hope they do well. The rest of them, man, I don't not wish them well, but I don't see them working anywhere besides being furloughed and coming back to WWE. And that's why you won't see a lot of them coming out. I seen it before we cut off real quick. I had a funny story that I watched No Way Jose. He was with, I can't remember. He did an interview with him. And so they're talking about his gimmick, you know, he's like, and he's like, No Way Jose, hell no, I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous. You know? And then Triple H comes up to him. He's like, no way. He's like, so you I got it cleared today. You like, he's like, I love it. Let's go. As much as doing that, he knows he wasn't going to be nothing great, but the fact that Triple H come up and he's like, no way. Got it approved, man. You like, he's like, I fucking love it. Let's do it. But he's nothing bad to say. You know, he wasn't going there trashing WWE. He knew what he was. He wasn't nothing that was great. The most over he was when Austin Aries turned heel on him and he had a match of TakeOver. That's all the best. No Way was just Adam Rose, but not Rosebuds. You know, so I'm not going to lie. No. I did kind of like the No Way Jose gimmick at first, just like I liked the 10 gimmick at first, but it gets old really fast. And best of luck to him, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. All right, AJ, it's that time of the show where I usually sign off and then Mike interrupts me and says that he wants to play a game.
So
let's play a game. Mary Kill Fuck.
Yeah, I got one for you. I sent you a picture.
Not sure if you got it or not.
I just seen it.
Okay, because I wasn't sure if you knew, so here we go. And in kind of honor of... Yeah, in kind of honor of your relationship with Bigfoot, we're going to do a supernatural fuck, marry, kill. Okay? So here we go. FMK, AJ. Here are your choices. A gray alien. Okay? An alien gray. A ghost. Or Snallygaster. Now, just because... Snallygaster. That's what I sent you. That is a Snallygaster. So, for folks who don't know, a Snallygaster is like... let's see if I can get a description of it.
It's like an octopus in the mouth with angel wings with a brontosaurus tail and some velociraptor hands for all four of its feet.
Yeah, it's half reptile, half bird with a metallic beak. It has tentacles that come out of its mouth like an octopus.
Just say I'm fucking that.
Okay, so you're fucking the Snallygaster.
I'm fucking that. I'm marrying the ghost because the ghost is going to stick with you and fuck with you if you don't. And I'm sorry, I'd at least rather be married to it and the alien who I'm killing.
I mean, I don't think... Dude, I think you got this all wrong. I'm going to pose this one to Forrest when he's back and see what he says.
You see the octopus? You see what's coming out of its mouth, man? That's going to do me a lot of pleasure.
Dude, I don't know, man. I think you're gambling here, buddy. I think you're gambling, guys.
I am.
It's been real. It's been fun. We'll catch you next time.
It's been real weird and fun.
Oh, shit.
New episodes of Drive-By drop every Saturday on iTunes, Spotify, and the iHeartRadio app. Subscribe and make sure you never miss a single one. And keep the conversation going on Facebook at Drive-By Pod. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. This has been a presentation of the Near Fall Network.